This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thursday on the show, we spoke with County Executive Chris Abele about the county's budget for the coming fiscal year. The county board passed an amended version that restores cuts to the budget for the sheriff's office and includes an increase in the county's tax levy.
Abele is expected to veto some items in the amended budget, and the board is scheduled to take possible override votes at its meeting on Wednesday. We're joined this morning by Board Chair Theo Lipscomb. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mitch. Appreciate you coming back.
So we started our budget interview with the county executive with this very same question, and I think it bears asking you as well. There were significant differences between his proposed budget and what was represented in the amended version the county board passed. But let me ask you first, did you see any particular areas of agreement that we ought to mention?
Well, I would say there's always agreement on probably 98% of the budget, and those things don't get any real discussion. It's a $1.37 billion budget, and we end up probably arguing over $10 million of those expenditures or $20 million of those expenditures in great detail.
Well, one of the areas that came up and it probably bears mentioning is there seems to be general agreement on the need to fund this Office of African American Affairs.
Yeah, that was an interesting proposal that came during the budget process and seemed to generate wide support immediately. So that was a good thing to be able to see the executive embrace Supervisor Rainey's proposal.
Other areas you think worth mentioning?
I think the municipal ID is also expected to have his support. That was an initiative by former chairwoman Dmitrievich and Peggy Roma West to essentially reintroduce the idea of municipal ID. It's something that the county used to have and has been gone for a number of years, and we're finding that there are many people in this county that don't have a suitable form of ID, can't even, go pick up a prescription or do simple banking.
Well, so then let me ask you about some of the areas of friction. And one was the drawing on reserves, which the county board cut in half. Analysts like the Public Policy Forum have said the county's fiscal picture is significantly more stable than it has been in years past. Why did you see that reserve draw as being too large in your estimation?
So it had been widely reported that it was a significant draw on reserves, that essentially we were going to draw the reserves down to a minimal level over 2 years, a reserve that took years to build up. And given that we've really tightened up a number of the areas in the budget where those reserves had been generated, it's unlikely that we're going to produce substantial new reserves. And so it just didn't seem prudent that we would expend those so quickly and put ourselves in a poor position. So to the extent that we could more honestly pay for those expenses more directly and not depend on those reserves, it puts us in a better position going forward. So I'm very proud of what we've been able to do in that respect.
Where do you think public funding for the Bucks Arena fits in this whole picture?
Well, if you see what the board did in terms of restoring $4 million for public safety, that is directly proportional to what was lost in state shared revenue, $4 million pledged over the next 20 years for the Bucks Arena. And we really did believe that essentially that lost revenue from the state was passed through as a reduction to the sheriff. So when we increased the levy, we allocated that money for the sheriff's office, but we also in the budget made a direct line sort of documenting that there had been this $4 million cut and that we were supplementing the budget with $4 million as a result of that arena deal that the county executive had entered into.
Well, we'll talk about the budget for the sheriff's office for a moment because the $4 million is a substantial amount of money any way you look at it. What was your major concern in regard to the budget? Did you see it as just too large a cut?
Yeah, so in addition to that reserve issue, the sheriff's office issue really was the other widely acknowledged flaw in the budget, this idea that the cut, which is on the order of 12% of the department's budget, was just not realistic, that there was no acknowledgement of how service levels would change or what the effect would be on public safety. And so I think there was widespread interest in trying to correct that. And I think that showed up in the vote, in that it was a unanimous vote of the county board. So from the most conservative to the most liberal member, everyone supported that move.
Do you have at the same time a message to the sheriff's office in terms of reeling in costs?
Well, interestingly, the costs to the sheriff's department were what did go up. So while the levy had stayed constant, the costs that were actually passed on in terms of space costs and IT costs and those costs, those are what really increased in his budget, and what made it impossible to see how anyone, regardless of who the person that we're talking about is, could actually have pulled off that cut without cutting services.
You are, though, calling, if I'm not mistaken, for a 1% reduction in expenditures in the sheriff's office. Is that right?
No, the 1% reduction is actually for other departments. The idea that we basically took what the executive had called for with the sheriff. He called for a 12% cut to the sheriff, and we said, well, we don't believe 12% is realistic for anybody, so we trimmed that back. But for other departments, said we think you could find 1%. Certainly, you could find 1%, and suggested that that same method could be used by departments that he oversees.
And sticking with the sheriff's office for just one more moment here, the county executive raised the issue of the sheriff's public persona and the kinds of things he's talked about in the national media in recent weeks. Do you see any relationship between the sheriff himself and his department's budget?
Well, unfortunately, I do think that conflating those two issues is wrong in terms of public policy. I mean, I'm appalled at many of the statements the sheriff's made, and I've told him as much. But that's different than what is my view of the role of the department, and how do we have to support the hundreds of men and women who serve every day, put their lives on the line for public safety, and need those resources. So I don't think that shortchanging the department is the proper way to deal with the person. So it's unfortunate, I think, that that's been conflated, and I just think it's sort of a continuation of, you know, a past campaign and sort of a previous personality dispute between the exec and the sheriff.
The county executive also talked about wanting to inject more sustainability into the transit budget, and of particular concern he had was the impact of the free rides program for seniors on the long-term viability of other things that MCTS is able to do. What's your take on that issue?
So I think the Go Pass is wildly popular, an important program, a program I'm proud of in terms of serving elderly and persons with disabilities. I think the question of what the budget effect has been of GoPass is overstated. Essentially, what you have them saying is that every ride that we're providing on the GoPass, that you should value that at what it is in lost revenue if all those people had paid. But what you really have is that we had accounted for what would be the lost revenue for those who were paying half fares before, and essentially discounted all of that. But any additional rides that are being taken now that weren't being taken before, that's not lost revenue. That's people who weren't riding before who are now filling what would have otherwise been an empty seat. So essentially we had spare capacity. It costs us the same amount to run that bus, whether we fill it or whether we have it half empty. So it's, you know, that revenue question, though, is something that the department struggled with, comptroller's office has struggled with, and it's clear that we're going to get some outside help in trying to get a good handle on what that number is. And part of that also goes back to the fact that until recently and before the GoPass and before the electronic fare system, we really had very poor numbers and data on how many riders and, you know, who was paying what. It was essentially a manual count system and a lot of estimates in it. And then you also have this overall trend that transit had been losing ridership even before that. So how much of the loss in ridership do you attribute or the loss of fare revenue should you attribute to GoPass? And other external factors like gas prices falling, that regularly leads to a drop in fair-paying customers. So, but long-term, we really have to look at the sustainability of the system, and everyone who is honest about it acknowledges that that can only be addressed through a dedicated source of funding for transit, and that we really need the state to empower us with those tools as other metropolitan areas have. And
is
as
this
voters,
a regional transit authority?
Whether it's a regional transit authority or it's most likely certainly a sales tax dedicated for transit. And that's what voters asked for in 2008.
The board also approved the amendment, I think, that you proposed to add funding for Estabrook Dam restoration. Why was that so important in this budget cycle in your estimation?
Well, so just to be clear, there was no new funding for the Estabrook Dam repair. That funding was secured back in 2009 and has been reaffirmed by the board time after time. The amendment in this budget was to add Fish Passage to the repair. So the question really is, we're on track to repair. The drawings are done. I believe they've been submitted to the DNR for a permit. And we're going to put this thing out to bid in December and begin construction soon. Should it contain Fish Passage or not? I've reached out to try to deal with a concern I'd heard, which was that it was on track for repair without Fish Passage and that we should include it. So that's the amendment. If it's vetoed, we're going to have a repaired dam without Fish Passage, and I think then people are going to be upset about that. So I hope it's not vetoed. I hope that there will be support for adding Fish Passage. And that is what passed the board on Monday.
And so finally, taken in total, the budget as amended that passed results in, I think it's a 1.4% increase to the tax levy. What is your message to taxpayers who might look at this and say, really, another increase in the tax levy?
So the Public Policy Forum's report yesterday, their follow-up, essentially said it compares favorably to the projected inflation. I think they said projected inflation for 2016 is 1.7, so we're under the projected inflation. But actually, if you look at that net increase, that 1.4 is $4 million, it is exactly what we lost because of the arena deal. So had we not lost $4 million from the arena deal, presumably we could have been at zero. So it really shows how that decision had a ripple effect through the budget.
Well, Theo Lipscomb, thank you so much.
It's always so fast whenever I come to talk to you, Mitch. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks.
Theo Lipscomb is chairman of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. You'll find a link to our budget interview with County Executive Chris Abley at wuwm.com.